This morning we have come to the last, for now, services focused on the Ten Commandments. Most of you know that back several months ago we began a series of God's authority and a look at the importance of the Ten Commandments. And what do they say to us today? Are they authoritative for us today? And what about them does God speak to us today? And so over the last few months, I know we've had a lot of other things, like Mother's Day last week, and we had Faith Promise, and we had Easter celebration, but we've kind of, on and off, been working through the Ten Commandments. And this morning we've come to the tenth commandment, "You shall not covet." You may think, well, we're finally over this. Number 10 can't be that important. It's the last one in the list. Well, actually, I'd like to suggest this morning, and I'd like to say that I believe the 10th commandment is absolutely important to God's heart as He gives His law and He gives His heart to the people. I believe it is very important. I believe that the 10 commandments were given by the finger of God, from the heart of God, and every one of them has something to say to me today. Some of them seem like they're more external, others are more internal, but the 10th commandment to me says something very important to my heart and what I look and what I long for and what it is that's most important to me. And so we're going to look at the 10th commandment. We're going to watch a video that my sister made, the one that looks the most like me, and then we'll get into it.
Today, I am unreal. See, for a long time, I'd find myself wanting this friend's car, that friend's body, or this neighbor's house. So I worked hard to get those things. But it's not the same. It's like I'll save for a year to buy a new car, and my neighbor's husband just goes out and gets her an even nicer one. No matter what I do, somebody's always got something better. And a lot of my friends don't even have to work to get it. How fair is that?
The question that we're learning about this morning is from the principle of this commandment: what is important to you in this life? What is important to me? What are the things in this world and that we have around us that most occupy us and we think about and we want and we desire and we want to be connected to and realize that all those things that God allows out there, and many of them are wonderful blessings, but also God has something to say about what we truly desire and what we hold on to and we seek with our life and our time. There's so many scriptures that deal with this subject that's a broad one about what coveting is. There are many stories from the Bible that help us to see what it is that coveting does to the heart of man and how God feels about the attitude that we have about possessions around us as well as other things that are a part of life. This question of coveting, this question of what's God's will about how we look at the possessions around us, are an important topic in Scripture. I once read a list of all the subjects that Jesus spoke of, and I was surprised to see, and then I saw them listed, that Jesus said more about possessions, about money, about financials, finances, about principles of what we have, stewardship and so forth, and parables about possessions that we have than any other subject that Jesus spoke about. And so we know that this idea of our possessions and what we have is important to the heart of God. And this area particularly of our heart's affections and what it is that we seek and would desire is important to God, so much so that He included it as the 10th commandment. I read one person who said of the 10th commandment that the 10th commandment summarizes the other nine. I had to stop and think about that a little bit. What do they mean by that? It summarizes the other nine. And then I began to think about how unique the 10th commandment is compared to the first nine. And now each one of the nine that we've looked at have maybe an obvious, an obvious truth to them, but also a principle behind them and truth behind them. And as we dig deeper into the commandments, we find that there's more and more of the heart of God that He says to us in those commandments and in other places as we read. I started out this series with the personal feeling that the Ten Commandments are authoritative for me, and I believe for the Christian church. I really have to say that at coming to the end, I feel that even stronger as I see the principles behind them and how important they are as a foundation and a bedrock to what we believe about the authority of God and how we're to live that out. But I also would say of the Tenth Commandment, don't discount the Tenth Commandment. Some of you know that I talked about in the beginning, maybe we'll allow for the discount of one commandment as we go through the list. And if you just feel like it's too much, or that, you know, God's asking for too much, then, well, you know, you choose to do it. But don't discount the tenth one, please. Because the tenth one really does say something about the other nine, and I want to look at that. The tenth commandment, coveting. Exodus chapter 20, hearing the words exactly of what we find in the law of Moses. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so we do have six examples of what it is specifically that we're not to covet, but then we kind of have this category, or anything. I mean, that's God's heart saying something to us. Here, I'll tell you some things to be careful about specifically in the day that this was written. Your neighbor's house and your wife, your neighbor's wife and servants and animals, because they were important to the culture of the day. But then he says, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So this morning, I wonder, as we think about that, what is it that we feel the most desire for and we want to have and we want to be connected to and important to us to give us meaning and identity? I mean, I realize that sometimes things in this life help us to give us our identity. And if we don't have them, we feel incomplete. We feel like we're struggling. We feel like we don't have who we want to be and what we want to be. And so when we think about the specifics of what's important to us, we realize that this commandment is addressing those types of things. All of the commandments, I would say, are about the heart. And I've been saying that all along, but I do feel like this commandment is more about the heart than the other nine are. Every commandment is about the heart, and God cares deeply about the heart. There's no doubt about this, but this commandment seems especially and particularly given to us about the heart. By the heart, I mean what we desire, what our affections are, what it is that is important to us, and that we strive for and we think about and we're possessed by and so forth. It goes straight to the heart and addresses, I believe, this 10th commandment does, the health of the soul. And in this commandment, we hear words that cause us to look deep into who we really are and what we think about and what we're driven by, what it is that gets our attention and we just want and we desire, we think we need. And so this morning I want to talk about the health of the heart in relation to this. Your thought life is an important part of your relationship with God. Your actions are important to God and your will is important to God, but also the things that go on inside your heart. Sometimes those tumultuous things that we work on and we think about and we struggle through and we pray through and we say, God, help me to have the right attitude and the right spirit relationship, especially broken relationships. And those battles go on down in the heart. Well, God cares about all those things, and our commandments show us that. It's not just what we say. It's not just what we do with our hands, but God cares deeply about what's going on inside of us. And He wants to do a work in us that cleans us and cleanses us. He wants to do a holy, holy cleaning of who we are. And so your thought life, my thought life, those things that we wrestle with in broken relationships, and all those things are important to God. And so we ought not to approach it like, well, if I didn't say anything terrible, then I must be pleasing to God. Or if I didn't actually go into 7-Eleven and take whatever, then I'm pleasing to God. And you know, if I did not have sex with someone that I'm not married to, then really I'm okay. Well, the truth is that God cares about all those areas of our feelings and our thought life, and He wants to help us with that. He wants to cleanse us with that. And Jesus spoke so often and so much about the heart issues. Jesus knew and taught about how important those deeper places are in us that need God's presence and cleansing and help. And I think probably all of us would say, yes, I know that. I know there's areas within me that aren't healthy. There's areas with me that I'm struggling with. And I give it to God, and God can cleanse it and take it away. And sometimes He helps us through that battle and we move on. And other times there's things that hang with us and we have all our lives. And we have to keep giving them to God and say, God, I ask You to help me where I struggle. And there's that place of commitment, that time when God can cleanse us, and He does when we give it to Him, and we pray for Him to do that. But also we know that we're marred in a world that's got a lot of pain, and we face a lot of situations that are difficult, and God knows that too, and He loves us, and He cares deeply. And so it's important that we're always growing about this heart thing, that we never get to the point where we become hard-hearted and stubborn and unwilling to look at the faults within, unwilling to look at our attitude and maybe how we've dealt with certain situations, and we're ready to say, no, it doesn't matter about all that. God doesn't care. The truth is, we ought to be constantly seeking to learn and hear and say, God, shape me and mold me, just like the potter and the clay. God, I don't want to become this stiff, hard, hard clay. I want to always be moldable in the hands of a loving God who wants to shape us and help us and form us. And so if there's areas that God would put His finger on your life and say, deeper issue, heart issue, don't turn Him away. Say, God, I need help with this. I ask You to help me. I don't like what it is. I remember when I was 17 coming to that place where I was so unhappy with myself about my heart. I did not like who I was. And though I had tried, and I was trying to do what's right as a Christian, as a teenager, I really wrestled with some things inside that I knew did not please God. And I would try, I'm going to do better next time. I'm not going to run my mouth like I did. I'm not going to be so critical of people like I was. And though I tried, it took something deeper for me. It took a time when God came. He really dealt with the issue inside. I'm thankful for that, and I need that every day. I need that Spirit of God that comes. We need those experiences that are deep and important, those cleansing times, those times of commitment. Maybe that day in your life when you finally give it to God, we need that. I needed that. God, help me with that. But God's also there every day after that to say, I want to mold you and shape you and make you into what you want me to be. Jesus, heart issues. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Does God care about your heart? Does God care about your thought life? Does God care about those areas that, you know, you wrestle with and you see down here? Well, the answer is absolutely yes. Jesus distinguished between the external things that we do to try to be good and right and how important they are, and He addressed many of them. But He also addressed often the condition on the inside and the heart. I think about Matthew chapter 6, especially in light of this commandment of the 10th commandment, and think of His words that He spoke. He said in Matthew chapter 6, He talked about how you've heard one thing, but I want to tell you this, that you've heard the truth about this, but I want to tell you I want to tell you, I want to change you, I want to shape you, I want to form you. Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, spoke of these things and how important they are to the heart of God. For example, he talked about, you have heard you shall not murder, but I say unto anyone that looks with anger, one translation says, in his heart toward his brother. He also said, you've heard thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, if you have looked upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. You see, Jesus, the externals are there and they're important, but also the internal part of who we are. Those are about some of the laws that he gives us and speaks to about. Also, we think of the scripture that says, for out of the heart the mouth speaks. The heart is a doorway for who you are. And so when you say, God, what do you want to say to me? Have I done anything wrong? You know, have I done anything that you don't want me to? Certainly a part of that prayer needs to be, God, would you look deep inside of my heart and show me anything that's displeasing to you? The seeds are found in the heart of both sin and the grace and the power of God to help us and to change us. And if we pay attention to the health of the heart and our attitude and our humility before God and our willingness to be accountable before God, he can give us healthy hearts. Regarding coveting, Jesus spoke often of this general subject. Responding to a question about an inheritance, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Somebody came to him with a question, Master, divide the inheritance between me and my brother. Not happy about the way it was going. And this is how Jesus responds. He didn't take the 2 men down and say, okay, tell me how much is on the chart. You know, okay, how many assets, how many liabilities. Why do you think he went to the heart. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So we know he spoke about possessions, but also it's not just possessions that we know this commandment it's about. It's about the desires that we have and what we want and what's important to us and what, boy, we just feel like we have to have or we won't be happy and we won't be happy with God. I won't be happy in my relationship with God unless I have this, whether it be a possession or a relationship or something that's important to us. We somehow hold God responsible and say, God, either it's going to be this way or I'm not really going to trust you. I'm not really going to believe in you. I'm not going to be faithful. I'm not going to hold on to you and make you that in that high position of respect and authority that you deserve. The issue, I believe, that Jesus went on to speak of in this parable was this man who had all these crops and he wanted to build bigger barns so that he could store them. And Jesus told this parable. It's called the parable of the rich fool. And the issue, I believe, for that man in this parable was his trust in his own desires, his own possessions. And that's what he was focused on. And he was missing eternity. He was missing eternal values. He missed the greatest value. And so as we think this morning, what is it that's most important to your heart? Ask God. Say, God, how important is that compared to the things that you want for my life, that you want for the preoccupation of my time? His eyes and heart in this parable were focused on things that wouldn't last, and so many things we know that we feel like we want and we desire won't last. This parable reminds us it will all be gone soon. And so, why is coveting so wrong? What makes coveting wrong? Why is it that this is a commandment? And what are we to learn from it? How do we know if we are outside of God's will about what we want in life? I mean, we all have wants and desires. We all know that. We all do. What makes coveting wrong? What is it that happens that all of a sudden somewhere a line gets crossed between what we want and then it becomes sin and it becomes something offensive to God and he warns us about it? I mean, are we supposed to enjoy the things of life? Are we supposed to want a nice whatever? Are they wrong for us? Things we hope for or maybe missing in life how do we decide what's okay to have and what's not? And all those things, normal things. It begins, of course, as children. We all have wants and desires, and there's not a normal person out there that doesn't have things that are important to them in this life. Sometimes possessions, sometimes more the internal things that are missing in a person's life, and they long for health, they long for relationship, they long for healing, they long for forgiveness. And these things can be very good things for us, but they also can take the place and become more important than our trust and our holding on to valuing the things of God. Normal things, dreams. I think of my grandkids and think of me as a kid and all the things that I loved and I wanted. And I remember how bad I wanted a 10-speed when I was about 7 years old, and I thought, I'll be somebody when I get a 10-speed, you know. I mean, I'm going to be all over the world by then, you know. And so I started saving my money. I started cutting grass, and about the first thing I bought with my grass-cutting money when I was 9 years old was a 10-speed from Sears. We all have things that are important to us. That doesn't make it wrong. But we have to realize that those things can impact our view of God and what's important in life. And if we're not hungry for the things that are important to God, then those things will take the place and begin to weasel their way into our affections and our time and our toys and our treasures and our talents. And they'll weasel their way into life so that we look back and, what happened to my trust in God? What happened to the hunger for God that He wants me to have? There are so many things that God puts within our hearts, and they're good things. I don't want to at all say today that the things around us, the possessions, are wrong. God gives us a bountiful harvest. He gives us things. He gives us cars and clothes and jobs and houses and relationships and things that we want. They're not wrong. Positions of influence, spouses, girlfriends, all a part of life that we cherish and enjoy. So why is coveting here? We know there's both external and internal things that are important to us. Some of them are the possessions of the world. They're easier to identify. You know, Jesus identified with these men and other stories in the Bible, a story of Achan, for example, a story of David and Bathsheba, and a lot of stories are external stories. They start with internal issues, the heart, but then they find their ways to external things. A lot of the things are easy to identify when they're external, they're physical, but there's also some internal things that I'm thinking about, and that's some of the more unexpressed, hidden emotional needs that we have and how they can also become so important to us that they rob us of the joy that God wants us to have. There's nothing wrong with all those things that are a part of relationships and we long for, but we also need to, along the way in our faith, put down the stake and say, God, whatever I have or don't have, whoever I have or don't have, wherever I'm from or I'm not from, whatever's happened to me in the past or not happened to me in the past, whatever the circumstances of my life, I've come to the place to say, God, I put my faith and my trust and I hold on to You. And I'm going to come to You for value, for my value. I'm going to come to You for my esteem. I'm going to come to You and say, God, I will look to You and be satisfied. The Apostle Paul talks about contentment several times in several places, and he speaks words about how important it is that we be content. Godliness, he wrote, with contentment is great gain. He also said, I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be in need. I have learned to be content in all circumstances. I know that's a broad statement by a man 2,000 years ago who lived a different life than you did, but what about your life? What do you have? Are you able to have a thankful heart to God and say, God, I am thankful for what You've given to me. I might not have everything I want, but I'm thankful for what You have given to me. I think sometimes the issue of coveting, when that's a struggle, begins in that place or resides in that place where we fail to be thankful for what God's given us. Instead, our minds are occupied with what we want or could have or might have or wish we had, or we're broken because we didn't have. But there's a principle about contentment in the Scriptures that's so important. I have learned, Paul said. I mean, we could examine Paul's life, and we are on Wednesday nights, but that's a different place to go. But the variety of things that went on in Paul's life, he did have a lot to be thankful for. He had a lot to say, man, God, why are you letting me go through this? Why in the world are you allowing this? God, I'm your servant. Paul never says that. You never hear that from his attitude or his spirit. He says, I have learned, whether I have plenty or whether I don't have anything, I have learned something, Paul says. He learned to be thankful. He writes about being thankful. He reminds us how important a thankful spirit is to each one of us. I know what it is to be in, and I've learned to be content in all circumstances. What about your life? Are you content with the life that you have? Good or bad? Full or not so full? God knows your needs. He knows your wants. He knows your hurts. And He wants to connect with you wherever you're at. Coveting. Why is coveting? What does it destroy? Well, the first thing I'd say is coveting is such a distraction. That's what I've been trying to describe here. It is such a distraction of knowing and sensing and walking with God. Coveting feeds on itself. It puts our eyes in the wrong place. When you have an issue with coveting, it means that you're focused on the wrong things. You're focused on something other than where God wants you to be looking and spending your time and your energy and your desires, maybe your efforts and all those things. And it can rob you. It can rob your life of joy. It's painful to see people who go through life negative and pained and struggling and unhappy because they just have not come to the place to say, God, I thank you for what you've done for me. And I ask you to help me and be with me. The distraction of coveting, whether it's a relationship or some place in life or some person or some job or a house or some physical something or whatever it is, maybe the approval of your peers. Whatever it is, it robs your life of joy. It can preoccupy to the point of stealing the good in life. It's taking away hardly anything positive to live for because it's negative and I'm always wanting. Coveting also fuels and piles on a spirit of envy and jealousy and greed, three other words that are related to coveting, but the fueling of something inside of us that's sinful. That's what this commandment's about. And if you are coveting, you're allowing this negative fueling from Satan in your life to just heap on the negativity so that you almost say, I have a good excuse not to have joy. I have a good excuse not to be thankful. I have a good excuse to be a grumbler and to complain and to have a problem relating to people because they have more than I do or they have different than I do. And coveting can fuel this spirit that is so painful and negative. And God doesn't want us to have. And coveting affects and hurts relationships. In this commandment, as I read before, six times about the neighbor, the brother, the neighbor, one translation says, six times, don't covet your neighbor's wife, don't covet your neighbor's house, his animals, your neighbor, your neighbor, your neighbor. This commandment also, and I haven't focused on it, but is about relationships. It's about how we view the people around us. It's how we hold the people around us and what God's given them and allowed in their lives. And if we're focused on them and all those things, then it robs us of the kind of relationships that God wants and desires. Certainly this commandment goes back and kind of speaks to thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, because all of them begin with coveting. They all begin because we want something. We want something that somebody else has. We want something that somebody else seems to be better at or good at or they've been able to attain in life, and so we have feelings about them, and sometimes just to violate that principle of stealing, and we would steal something from them. Lust. Sexual immorality is one issue, but specifically committing adultery and the commandments that are listed here. And how if we allow our thought life and our focus to be other than where God wants it to be in our heart, how Satan can use that. In fact, Satan used all these things as a doorway, an access point, a hook, in order to just get us enough to pull us away from the perfect will of the holiness of God. If Satan can just get that little hook, he knows how to pull it. He knows how to work it. Satan knows how to work our hearts and our attitudes and our hurts and our pains especially. Boy, he knows how to work our disappointments so that we can live life defeated because of the negative stuff in our life, because Satan's got us. Oh, I got him by that disappointment. I got that, you know, when back there when you were betrayed. Back there when, painfully for some, your parents did something that was so wrong. Maybe a broken marriage. Maybe in school you were made fun of. Maybe you had troubles and problems. And way back there, Satan found a hook. He's pulling you around. And then, you know what happens is he does that. Then the root of bitterness gets in there. Coveting is a place where bitterness finds harbor. It finds a nursery. When we entertain those thoughts and we don't allow God to break them in that area of coveting, can be this growing soil in us. And we don't realize how Satan is nourishing that soil, how Satan is fertilizing it. God wants to help us. God wants to do something about that. Go on to the slide about the heart, would you please? That's the scripture. See that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Go on past those, would you please, Crystal? There you go. Thank you. I want to end this morning with a simple verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I know this message is primarily about coveting, but maybe not really. This message is about guarding your heart. Saying, God, is there anything in my heart that I am harboring, that I am nurturing, that I'm holding on to, that keeps me from being a holy person before you? Boy, God has the answer to that. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He took our sins. He took all our iniquities on Him on the cross. And He says if we come to Him and we confess to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wonder this morning if there's anything in our hearts that we need to say to God, God, would you examine this? Would you take it out? Would you change it? Would you cleanse it? Would you forgive it? And I know that God is willing and able to do that today. Would you stand, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your word and your truth and this scripture about coveting that's been on my mind now for a couple of weeks, and wondering, God, what do you say to me about my heart and my life? And Lord, I'm reminded how important it is that I keep my heart clear before you, that I have a heart that is teachable and a heart, God, that is moldable by you. I pray, God, that you would examine every part of me, and whatever you want to change or say to me today, God, that I am willing to hear it And I'm willing to bow before you, God. I pray that each one of us that are here today, there would be a humility of heart. Lord, our lives, our relationships, our choices, our possessions, the things that we want and desire and need, God, I pray that you would help us. I pray, God, that that root of bitterness that could be inside of us, God, that even right now in this moment, there would be a turning to you and a confession to you. And Lord, calling out to you, God, would you take that root of bitterness out of my heart, out of my spirit? God, help me, heal me, cleanse me, make me whole today, God, I pray. I pray that each one of us would seek you with our whole heart. And we would love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And we would love our neighbor as ourself, I pray. In Jesus' name.